It's hard to find words to describe the tidal wave of change in healthcare brought about in part by advanced telecommunications. It all goes under the general heading of telemedicine, which entails the integration of computer science, AV technology, phone lines, and medical science, all with the goal of benefiting patients where and when they need that help. One of the best definitions of telemedicine is contained in this book, A Telemedicine Primer by Jim Reed. But rather than have me quote from the book, let's actually use the link and talk with the author. Jim, are you there?
Hi, Michael.
Hi. For the benefit of our viewers, could you tell us where you are at this moment?
Sure. I'm in my office in the Center for Telepsychiatry at the Menninger Clinic in Topeka, Kansas.
And could you share with us that definition of telemedicine I alluded to?
You bet. I define telemedicine as the use of advanced telecommunications technologies to exchange health information and to provide healthcare services across geographic, time, social, and cultural barriers.
That would even seem to include the common telephone call, is that right?
That's right. It's deliberately vague and all-inclusive. It includes everything from two providers talking over a telephone line just discussing a case, to faxing an ECG for remote interpretation, to using the high bandwidth, information-rich technology we're talking over right now.
Jim, later on in this program, we'll be discussing some of the obstacles in the path of telemedicine. Do you think you could stand by and share your thoughts with us then?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
One of the things that happens in any sector of the economy and society when you start computerizing things is you take a lot of the things that have been explicit or unspoken, you have to make them explicit because the computer doesn't read between the lines. One of the things that's happening as we start involving medicine with telecommunications is we have to look more closely at what it is we've been doing all along. And for all of us in the field who've been trained as medical professionals, we've been forced to reassess some of our habits of practice and unspoken assumptions about what medicine is and how it works, because some of these things just don't work online. If you, as a physician, go online and begin interacting with one of these online self-help networks, and you take the role that a physician traditionally would take in the clinic, I'm the doc, I have the answers, I'm going to give doctor's orders, you know, don't ask questions, you get trashed. It doesn't work. And so you're either forced to abandon the effort or to learn how to operate in a new way. And the way that works is a collegial, respectful effort in which you say, well, look, there's certain things I know, here's some of them, I want to hear what's important to you. And it's much more interactive and it's much more a partnership relationship.
When we get sick, a very small fraction of illness requires immediate care. And in fact, most telemedicine consultations between patient and provider, or between provider and provider colleague, will actually occur on a store and forward type of capability, or more appropriately put today, it will be multimedia email. I like to use the banking industry as one example. In the 1960s and 1970s, I had to go to my bank to access cash. Today, I can go to any location worldwide to an ATM and access my cash. The reason for that is the building of a computer and a communication network that allowed access to a central information resource that said, okay, Jay Sanders does have enough money in his account for us to provide him these dollars. The same thing is really happening in healthcare. In fact, it's been the healthcare industry that has been delayed in terms of the application and adoption of these types of telecommunications and information technologies.
It should be clear by now that the world of telemedicine is not all wine and roses. There are some significant obstacles in our path before it's fully adopted throughout the country. Jim, from your perspective, what are the most significant obstacles in the path of telemedicine today?
Well, I can think of three right off the top of my head, Michael, and I guess I'd put those in the categories of real, temporary, and imagined. Certainly a real obstacle is what I call technophobia. You know, it's that difficulty people have embracing new technologies. And I think until healthcare providers can really understand and embrace telemedicine technology, it's not going to be possible for them to incorporate it into their practices. The second obstacle is a temporary one, I think, and that's reimbursement. across the country today, telemedicine reimbursement is kind of patchy, but I think with the changes that are going on at the congressional level and in the healthcare policymaking level, we'll see that disappear in the next year or two. I really hope so, anyway. And third, I think, is liability, and I really consider that an imagined obstacle. Every time I talk to a healthcare provider for the first time about telemedicine, you know, their first or second question has to do with their relative liability risk or their exposure. And despite those concerns, really we don't have any evidence in all the experience we've got to suggest that healthcare liability risk is any greater in telemedicine than it is in any other practice activity.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Your insights have benefited this program enormously. I appreciate it.
There are all these issues. There's professional liability, there's licensure, reimbursement, confidentiality, and all this will be brought up as a barrier. And really, I don't think that that's necessarily the main issue. I think when it comes down to it, it's going to be a sociological question. How comfortable do I feel, you know, how, as a physician, as a patient, that kind of thing. If I'm a physician, will I, you know, be interested in doing telemedicine if I think I can be sued more often? And the answer will be no. But if I think it will be as difficult or as, I don't know, efficacious to use telemedicine as regular practice, then, you know, who cares, and I'll go ahead and do it. Now, as a patient, you have to ask yourself, will I lose something? Will I, you know, do I really gain something in terms of the interaction with the physician if they're so far away? Will I lose the ability to be touched by the doctor, to have a conversation with the doctor, or, you know, whomever? And, you know, those questions will have to be asked. You mentioned the studies, and I think the studies prove out that everyone feels pretty comfortable with it.
It's occurring so rapidly in terms of, first of all, in the United States, you're seeing your major medical centers like the Massachusetts General Hospital, the Peter Ben Brigham, Johns Hopkins, Duke, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo, the University of California Health Science Centers, the University of California, San Francisco, Davis, UCSD, UCLA, Stanford, all embracing telemedicine. And they're racing to embrace it because of the reality of the fact that the United States is not the only one embracing telemedicine. It is truly an international race. There is a recognition, there is an understanding that access to information in a generic sense is access to wealth. The nation that has and can facilitate information exchange will be the next true industrialized nation.